Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 307, recorded October 10th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers!
Hello, hello!
Welcome
once again to this show that we're doing right now.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but let's say first who's going to join us on the show.
We have Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan, and Mick in Carnforth, UK.
Cool. Well, first of all, I want to talk about a couple of things. This is the season when things start winding down outside, if you've got setups outside, and I was checking some things out. Found some bloodworms outside in a container of water that I had out there.
On accident bloodworms?
On accident bloodworms.
Where'd they come from?
But I wanted them. Well, the midges fly around and find water like mosquitoes do.
Oh.
And they're insect larvae. They're not real worms. I just call them bloodworms because they're red and
wormy-shaped
and wiggly. But anyway, I found some.
Fortuitous.
Yeah, and one of our kids and I collected some of the bloodworms before dumping out the water source, and we put them in. Oh, we're gonna have a budgie accompanying us today, I guess.
That's okay. Budgie noises are okay.
Okay. Well, we collected them and we fed them to our multis, or however you want to say it.
The new ones in the
shell dweller cichlids, mm-hmm. Yes. And we videoed it. It was kind of fun watching them eat them. They're almost too big for the little guys because they're so small. And then found a container of water with mosquito larvae in it.
Evil little
and
nasty things.
I must say, it is my civic duty to dispose of any mosquito larvae that I find in a container of water. So I did.
Fed them to fishes.
By feeding them to fish. I still have a few left, but I'm going to feed them all to fish before they have a chance to do anything
development-wise.
Yeah. And I also videoed that, so I'm going to do a compilation of multis eating bloodworms and mosquito larvae, because it's kind of fun. I'll post that.
Fish dining.
Yeah. It's just kind of fun to watch fish eat live food. It's good for them. I'm hoping to get the multis to spawn soon, and I think that should help. It often does to give fish live food like that, so see how it goes. Especially if it's over the course of several days, it's a good way to condition them into spawning. Let's see.
Speaking of eating.
Yes.
You were going to tell us the other thing, too.
Oh, yes. Tiki 2, our little parthenogenic gecko, has recently begun eating crickets. Yesterday,
she ate her first cricket.
Yep, her first strike was unsuccessful. Her second strike was successful. She got a cricket and ate it, a very small cricket.
She went nom, nom, and swallowed it all down.
Wow, Twilly, the budgie, is being really, really communicative, isn't he?
I bet they can't even hear him as much over here.
Oh, we can. I'm picking it up on
headphones.
You
always tell me I'm too quiet, and I'm right here. And I'm way louder than the budgie.
Yeah, but for some reason, he's picking up pretty loud. That's okay. We may not have to worry about it a whole lot. I hope nobody minds. Anyway, so, there we go.
Should we go to Joe?
Yeah, let's do Joe.
Okay,
Hudsonville.
Here we
Michigan.
Go. And he says, hello, Kelly and Russ. And I have not counted the number of O's in hello, but if they were zeros, it would be a lot of money.
Yeah, I wish we had that much.
Mm-hmm. Joe from Hudsonville, Michigan, back again. I don't know that I am any less busy, but I have squeezed in setting up and fishless cycling a 55-gallon tank in our living room. Here's the skinny. This is my random thought about this. Probably doesn't have anything to do with anything, but we're doing the podcast, and it's me, and I'm a little tired, so you guys get to listen to me say rambly stuff, because you know you love it. We say, here's the skinny, but then we also say that we sit around and chew the fat.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
It's kind of weird, huh? Okay, yeah. Anyways, I dose the tank with ammonia to bring the level up to 3 to 4 parts per million. Excuse me. It started to fall, and the nitrites started to skyrocket as expected. They peaked out well over 5 parts per million, as high as the test kit reads. This morning, as I am writing to you, the nitrites are falling nicely to between 0.5 and 0.25 parts per million. Ammonia is back down to 0, and nitrates are at 30 to 35 parts per million. What are my target numbers before adding fish?
OK. Okay, very good questions. I would say, of course, ammonia you want at zero. I would say the same for nitrites. And then nitrates, I would say below 40.
So he's almost there.
Yeah. And I would say the best way to get there is, it's for, in terms of the nitrates, just do a large-ish water change before you put the fish in, like the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Do a, you know, a big, large portion of the water. We're not talking 20% here. I would do like maybe 60, 80% even,
okay,
carefully. But you know, you want to make sure the temperature's right and everything. You don't want to shock the bacteria and make sure you dechlorinate it properly. But that's what I do. That's what I always learn to do, is do a large water change to bring the nitrates down. And just nitrites, you really want to be at zero, just like ammonia.
Okay.
And something that Dr. Tim suggests, his website, is to make sure that he says, don't actually try to make your ammonia go anything over 2 parts per million. Because if you go above that,
when you start your cycle, you mean?
Right. And you try to target that as your peak level the whole time when you're cycling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it go above 2. Try to...
What happens if
you put 1 drop per gallon of the ammonium chloride solution that he provides, mm-hmm, in, it should get to around 2 parts per million. And then just don't let it go above that. And if it gets below 1 part per million, you add some and just try to keep it between those two. And then the nitrites won't go as high, but then the cycle goes faster, I guess, is the idea. Because the ammonia being at lower concentrations allows the second group of bacteria, which are very sensitive to ammonia, to start developing more quickly.
Interesting.
I think is the idea. And so, anyway, that's what he suggests. Not that what you did is wrong. Obviously, it's working. You're cycling the tank. It's not a problem. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying this is something that he suggests that I was looking at that I hadn't always thought of. I guess I had tried to do 2 parts per million, usually not go over that, but not necessarily the reasoning behind that, and that was the reasoning that was explained there, and thought that was pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, he has a PS. He says, the big nerite snail is a tiger. My 5-year-old tells me that this is her ladybug snail.
I can see that.
That's cute. It was put in after the assassin snails. The smaller snail that turned to lunch was the same kind. So I'm guessing that gets us no closer to the answer of why the current snail happily hangs out while the newcomer was lunch.
Indeed, the plot thickens.
Mm-hmm.
There's...
Is it just size? How big is the new one?
I don't know. The new one was smaller, yeah, but I don't know. That's,
I mean, the
really
one that
unusual.
Didn't get to be lunch.
The one that didn't
get
eaten is bigger, and it's older. It's been, mm-hmm, in the tank longer, but it was added after the assassin snail, so it's, mm-hmm, not like they came in and, you know, didn't notice it.
It was the big snail on the block.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Maybe he eats a lot of garlic and he just doesn't taste good.
Snail?
Yeah, he like sneaks out. He goes gets Italian food or something.
Well, I hear that snails with garlic actually taste pretty good. Garlic and butter.
Okay.
But
well,
I haven't really eaten them.
Maybe he doesn't eat garlic, and that's the problem.
I don't know.
Okay. Let's go to Mick.
Okay.
He says, hi guys, I am probably all out of step with the podcasts and Facebook posts, but anyway, amazing news on the Miracle Crestie. Thank you. I have yet to see the videos. I rarely brave the evils of Facebook. I look forward to hearing more about it on the next show.
Did you put it on Facebook, the Aquariumax, or did I, or somebody did? I think we did.
It seems like we did.
It's on the
I put a picture of her up just the other day, because she was... I gave myself the alliteration award. That was probably a little naughty, but I put up a picture and it said something about the terrifically teeny tiny tiki too. Because I took a picture, she was just sitting on my finger.
Uh-huh.
And I just put it up there for
cool
to see. So.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. That's cool. Mm. But yeah, I'm pretty sure, I know it's on the YouTube channel.
It's on the
channel.
YouTube channel, so you don't have to break Facebook.
Aquariumax episode 306 page.
Okay.
As well. But I think we put it on Aquariumax Facebook. And you put it on your own Facebook page, didn't you?
I
believe so.
I did, excuse me. Okay. The place you got the cichlids from sounds terrific. Having a constant flow through a perfect water is any aquarist dream come true.
Indeed.
He says, and now, after an extended hiatus, shrimp news. I've recently set up 2 10-liter tanks for shrimp projects. I have a group of orange cherry shrimp in one, and a wild Malaysian banded shrimp colony in the other. I always had great fun breeding these, and they thrive on neglect if set up right. They have a small air stone and a huge bunch of nitella, which acts as a great food source and natural veggie filter. Note, That's Nutella, not Nutella.
Yeah, Nutella is Nutella. Good stuff, but it probably doesn't work as a veggie filter.
Makes great sandwiches, probably not so good in fish tanks.
Right.
This is what happens when I'm tired. I had my previous shrimp tank set up the same way a few years ago, and they did really well. I have a couple of more tanks to set up the same way, so shrimpy days are here again.
Yeah, Nutella is an interesting plant. It's not really a plant. It's an algae.
Uh-huh.
It's a freshwater macro alga, I guess would be the correct term.
Except alga really sounds bad.
Okay, well, I'll say freshwater macro algae then.
Okay, because alga is like, bleh.
Yeah, but technically algae is a plural.
Well, you probably have more than one piece of it, right?
Probably. But it's kind of a funky looking plant. It's interesting.
What does it look like?
Well, it's not really a plant, like I said, it's an alga, but it's sort of a little bit like hornwort. Like, it has little thin stems and then kind of a puffy little... But it's not really leaves, because it's an alga. It doesn't really have leaves. But it's an interesting phenomenon to include in your aquarium.
Huh.
It's, I guess, technically a protist, because it's an alga. Anyway, fun stuff. And it sounds like a really cool way to do it, because it'll just keep growing and doing its thing.
It'll be lovely.
I love low-maintenance setups. They're cool.
That's good. You can just watch it do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I have also set up the living room tank with my first batch of sailfin mollies. I got a group of 10 gold and 10 green from one of the UK's largest trade supplier, but they were all males and not in good condition when they arrived.
Uh-oh.
I lost about half of them in the first week in a quarantine tank at the shop. That's too bad. I have a much smaller supplier, which always had good live bears, and I got 5 pairs of red leopard sailfin from there, which were much better. And I have my first batch of fry, which I found hiding among the java fern and moss last night.
Cool.
Yeah. I have another group of silver sailfins coming this week to go with them, and I will try to get some pictures or video to send in some best fishes make.
Mollies are cool. Mm-hmm. You like mollies. They're one
I do
of
like
your
mollies.
Preferred fish.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that Mick's shop is doing well.
Me too.
It's still going, and I just think that's really exciting. It's really sad. Lars and I were actually just talking the other day that from Logan, which is maybe
approximately an hour and a half away
or so north of us, from there down to Salt Lake, which is a half an hour south of us, there are no like local fish stores anymore. There are no mom and pop, you know, single owner, one store fish shops anymore. There's PetSmart and there's Petco and that's it.
And there's several of those. But
there's several of those, but there aren't any real...
And there
you
used
know.
To be quite a number of them. And the one that
not even
was,
just fish shops, but like pet stores
but
at
pet
all.
Pet stores at all that are not...
Nothing.
There are like little groomer supply shops, that kind of stuff, where they sell dog and cat food and they groom your dog or whatever. There are those. But there's nothing that's just an all-around mom-and-pop pet shop or a fish store anymore.
It's
in that
sad.
Whole area. It is really sad. There are several further south.
It's like a two-hour radius.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a 2-hour stretch, whatever.
Well, a 2-hour stretch, you
yeah.
know, from north to south, where there isn't any. It's not like we're in the most highly populated area of the state, but at the same time, there are quite a few cities
yeah,
up and down that area.
Of,
and
yeah.
There should be more pet stores than there used to be. Mm-hmm. One time we drove up not far from here to Sunset when we lived down further south. We drove up to Sunset just to visit a pet store called Reptile Gardens.
And it's closed.
It's closed. That was
years
ago.
There was one about 20 minutes south of us in Bountiful when we first moved up there, and it just recently closed.
Yeah, like
that was the last
a couple
one.
Months ago it
yeah.
went out of business. So, anyway.
It's kind of sad.
So try to support your local shops.
Yay for Fangs and Fins.
Yeah. And, I don't know. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But we're glad that your shop is still doing well, and we hope it keeps going that way, and we're glad your mollies are doing well.
Yeah.
And... someday I would like to do sailfin mollies. They're fun, but we need a big tank. They're not a live bear for a small tank. They need space.
They need height.
Yeah. Well, they need just space
just
in general.
Space
they're big
general.
Live bears, and if you want that sailfin to develop properly, you need space
they
and
need
good food
space.
And all that stuff. Well, I think that's just about
else?
All of it for this
everything?
Week. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Okay.
No, it's just... guess I'm going to be... shutting down the outside Daphnia cultures and bringing in a few for the winter soon, but haven't done that yet. We're going to hit the freeze soon, so I'm going to have to get on that so I don't have to wait for
Daphnia.
That's
not my favorite part of the year.
No, not mine either, but it's okay. There are good things coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you all have a lovely rest of the week. Sorry about last week. I was quite sick, so we didn't get a show out. And, let's see. That's all. So,
now you're better.
Yeah. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen.
May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquaramax Archive. For additional episodes, please visit aquaramax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquaramax.com.